Sports Hub headlines.
All right, Red Sox topped the Blue Jays this afternoon, 8-3. J.D. Martinez, home run number 17 on the season. Andrew Benintendi hitting his seventh of the year. David Price picking up the win for Boston. He went five innings, giving up four hits, two earned runs. Mookie Betts, by the way, missing his second straight game, dealing with tightness in his left side. Elsewhere in the AL East this afternoon, Yankees fell to the Astros 5-1. Nationals beat the Orioles 6-0, and Rays and A's are scoreless right now in the second. NBA, Celtics falling last night in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final to LeBron James and the Cavs, 87-79. Tonight, it's Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and the Warriors. Golden State going to be without Andre Iguodala again. He is not going to play. Tip-off is at 9, and Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between Washington and Las Vegas is tonight. Face-off is at 8. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank, financing deals for corporate clients with flexibility at every turn. Learn more at cambridgesavings.com, equal housing lender. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Well, I think first of all, you know, we all talked about being very appreciative for getting a chance to be around each other all year. It was a tremendous group from the standpoint of pulling together. It's just a great locker room, great support of one another. And then, you know, I talked about the pain as part of the path. We've been really fortunate to continuously get better the last couple of years and put ourselves in better positions. But when it ends, it's painful. And but that is part of the path. And so we have to let it motivate us.
All right, Brad Stevens following the loss last night. It's Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on a Memorial Day. As we honor those who are truly important and what's really important, we stay in the toy department and talk about sports and a big loss for the Celtics last night in Game 7. Marshall Hook is in for Maz. Tim McCone in our update studio. Mason Souza behind the glass, the diabolical one. We continue with your reaction to that game. Did the Celts choke? Who do you blame? Is the coach on your list? Coach get some blame pie for you? Thank God we haven't talked about the refs, so I guess that's not his topic. Love it. Oh, that's so great. Even though I think LeBron fouled Rozier on that dunk. And I think that, well, I don't know. I thought that Jason Tatum got finger banged. I mean, if you know what I mean.
He was getting those inside, like those reach fouls.
He got screwed. Like, yeah. Tatum did not give any sort of break in that game. So I think you got screwed on a couple. But then again, the refs also put the Cavs in the bonus with 7:20 left. You like my analogy, McCone? You can't say that on TV in Providence, can you?
No,
see
you
the with 7:20 left in the fourth quarter, Cleveland's in the bonus, and the Celtics only get to the line twice more,
yeah.
And that was their fault, not the
refs.
I
don't know that they did much when they got there.
So the refs, I think, sort of balanced out. The game was called too ticky-tack in some places for me. Fourth quarter, you put them in the bonus with 7 minutes left. Fourth quarter, Game 7, what are we doing?
Well, it's because it's rigged, and the NBA really wanted the Celtics to advance.
So, I think the NBA is kind of rigged. Last night was not.
No.
Last night was on the level, and you lost on the level because you could not put the ball in the ocean. Because you got choky, and that's what happened. In my opinion, what's yours? Steve in New Hampshire, lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Steve.
So, after Game 7 was over, I came to a really unsettling realization that we could potentially be looking at another Cleveland-Golden State NBA Finals. And I thought, my God, if I'm the NBA, I am panicking because that is going to be the most boring finals for probably the last 20 or 30 years. When Golden State or Houston wins by that first 30-point margin and everybody tunes out, I think it's really going to open up the conversation for them completely revamping the playoff format, which I really think they need to do because, in my opinion, if this year in particular, if you look at the West Coast, I think looking at the bracket, everything played out the way it was genuinely supposed to. I don't know what happened in the East, but what you're basically looking at in the Western Conference Finals tonight, in my opinion, is the true finals champion for the NBA.
So, Steve, you want them to go 1-16, regardless of conference, right?
I think it makes more sense. I think
I'm just going to cut you off. I'm just going to cut you off. I think I would love that. I think it would be interesting.
No.
You don't like it?
No. I mean, I don't like the fact that in all of these different sports, we're steadily erasing the importance of divisions and conferences and league. Why have them then? I mean, why don't we just then have one NBA? If that's what you want to do, then just have one big NBA.
For all intents and purposes, that is the NBA. Quickly, what division are the Celtics in? What's the name of the division?
Atlantic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Who won the Atlantic?
The Toronto Raptors.
Okay, you know this?
I believe that's correct. Am I correct?
How many divisions are there in the Eastern Conference?
Three.
What are they? What are the names?
The Atlantic, the other one, and the other one?
Exactly. No one even knows. No one pays attention.
I mean, it took you three questions fine.
It kind of proves my point.
Yes.
No one even knows a division.
I know
anyway.
That there's a metropolitan one in the NHL, and I think that's stupid.
But at least there it matters because you only play off within your division. In basketball, the divisions, you know, I don't know. I just think there's so many series in the NBA that go rote. You know, the favorites win, home teams win. That just shaking it up a little bit would help. Would help me as a casual NBA fan. Seeing Philly play Denver in the first round to me is just more interesting than seeing Philly play Atlanta. It's just like, just give me a little bit more variety. Maybe there'd be a chance for contrasting styles and maybe more upsets and maybe more road teams would win and, you know, just that sort of stuff. But then again, if you're schlepping East Coast to West Coast, maybe not. I don't know. In terms of what's a more interesting final, I agree with you that Cleveland Golden State would bore the crap out of me. It will bore the crap out of me. Unless LeBron keeps doing this. Unless LeBron pulls some upsets and actually makes it a series. I would so much rather see Cleveland Houston just for some different matchups, McCone. And just see some different,
yeah, definitely.
Different adjustments and just some different just different matchups. I do not need to see Cleveland Golden State again. I do not. I definitely do not. And I do believe that Celtics Golden State would have been more entertaining than Cleveland Golden State as well. It would have been. I think. I don't know. Maybe after.
I mean, I think anyone getting in there, frankly, if the NBA were really interested in the volume of games, like the inventory, then I think that Boston-Houston would have been the best finals because that one I feel like would have gone seven games. That one would have been a nice, deep, let's get every broadcast in there. We'll start them all at 9:30 at night, so no child younger than like 17 will see it, but you would have gotten your full slate of games. I think Golden State's going to wipe out Cleveland. I think they're just going to roll right over them, and it'll be another Golden State victory three out of 4 years in this matchup that should have been 4 out of 4 years.
I was going to say, is this 4 out of 4 years going to be Golden State-Cleveland?
Yeah. Yep.
That's just too much. I need some
And I don't disagree with that. I just think that you're looking at a period of time where you have a team like Golden State and you have a team like LeBron, really, because it's not Cleveland, it's LeBron, and it's just so happening that these two things are happening at the same time.
No, I understand.
Because I don't think, I don't think I need to look it up to say that I don't think there's been the same finals matchup 4 years in a row in any sport.
Here's John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, what do you got?
So in game one, the Celtics' performance in the paint was incredible. I believe it was either game one or game two. It was exceptional. And then you go yesterday to game seven, and they're throwing bricks up, and they're down. They're either up by four or down by four, and they're going for the three constantly. It's ridiculous. They're younger. They are more athletic than Cleveland, and they just cannot stop with the three, and it's ridiculous to watch, and it's hard to watch, and they could easily get to the basket if they wanted to.
And it's one thing, John, thanks for the call. I'm just going to cut you off. It's one thing if they were hitting them, but they were having an epically bad, a historically for them, bad night shooting the three. And up until the very last buzzer, they're just bombs away. And the coach did not get in there and stop it at all. That, again, as we've been saying all day, I think is a fair second guess. Anthony Revere, how do you feel about Marcus Smart today? He says he's worth more than $12 to $14 million a year.
Yeah, that's absolutely insanity. You know, I just, after the season like that, it's a little too insane to say. And I have another question. What do you guys think about, does Tyronn Lue deserve more credit for this series win? Does he deserve all this?
Or maybe LeBron is a tactician. I don't know. All I know is your coaching advantage didn't show. Did it? Did the coaching win you one game?
No.
I mean, so I don't feel like, and I, you know, wouldn't you know it? Just as soon as I convert to the Brad bots, it's like he was a non-factor. The coaching was a non-factor in the series. I really feel that way. I feel like, if anything, Stevens hurt you last night. I think the first six games, it was like, McCone, you could have been coaching Cleveland, and Hook could have been coaching the Celtics, and it still would have been 3-3. You know, I don't think it made a world of difference. Last night, I was expecting more from Stevens. I was not expecting his team to look like that down the street. You know, I thought if you got into a close game, advantage Celtics because of your coaching and just that, just your brain power. And here, for the first time all series, we had a close game, one possession games in the fourth quarter, and the coaching meant nothing. And if anything, your coaching kind of hurt you because he just let your team launch and launch and launch. Jim and Quincy, your thoughts on Stevens?
Yeah, Brad Stevens is the most overrated coach in Celtics history. That was brutal last night with all the three-pointers they were taking. I mean, what as a coach do you say, all right, let's stop shooting these threes? The only guy that should have taken any threes is Tatum. And that was brutal. This guy is overrated. If this was a Philadelphia 76ers coach, the local media is killing him.
Okay. Hook, you're shaking your head.
Well, I mean, suddenly the entire width and breadth of Brad Stevens' career as coach of the Celtics is last night's game.
I'm not saying.
And off last night's game, he's wildly overrated. Okay. Right there, I just see that as a logical fallacy, that we're going to take his entire time here and make it last night's game. And on the flip side, we have no idea. I am willing to bet that Brad Stevens had words with Terry Rozier last night saying, hey, dude, you're ice cold. Maybe try to do something different. And Terry Rozier said, oh, yeah, great coach, and went out there and clanked a couple more off. I don't believe that Brad Stevens didn't say, and just keep throwing threes, guys. Keep doing it. Eventually they're going to fall. Maybe he did. I'm going to go ahead and say he didn't. I'm going to guess that at some level.
I think their philosophy is just keep shooting them. They're going to go in. I think that is their philosophy. And he's got to say we're going to abandon that for them to abandon it. Because they've been given the green light. Marcus Smart has been given the green light the entire time here. I'm sorry, he has.
I got to tell you, Marcus Smart for three is like the four words that I just hate to hear. They are the worst four words in any game that I have watched of the Celtics.
And it finally,
Marcus Smart for three.
It finally really bit you in the ass last night. Matthew in New York City, you want to follow up on this?
Yeah, you know, if just think about Stevens' legacy. If he had won the series, they'd be talking about him, maybe writing him up as almost like a living legend of sorts, especially in the New England era, because they love the guy so much. But now that he blew, really had almost a Grady Little type moment last night by not doing anything. Going into this season coming up, you know, if he has everyone healthy and we just, you know, use the variables that we have, he has no choice now but to get this team to the finals. And if he doesn't, you know, the question then becomes, I don't think they would fire him, but if I were the owner, I would seriously consider firing him if the team doesn't go to the finals next year.
So, Matthew, that's not within a million years of happening. They love him to death, to pieces to death here. So he's not going anywhere, no matter how many games he blows. And I'm not even saying he blew last night. That's a little strong to call it a Grady Little moment.
Yeah, I mean, a little much.
Isn't that going a little far?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I think we could have used a timeout or an offensive set there, but that ain't Grady Little.
I mean, because, again, Grady Little had whichever relief pitcher it was, ready to go in the bullpen. Who was the bullpen for the Celtics?
So
who were they supposed to bring in?
However, I think that, you know, the honeymoon with Stevens and fans, and that's not even put right. The expectations will be high next year, and rightfully so.
Well, and this is the one part I agree with. Fast forward a year, you're essentially, from a postseason standpoint, adding Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, who you're adding for the entire season.
If you don't go to the NBA Finals,
if you get to a lead in the fourth quarter in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals and then add Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, yeah, you better make it to the NBA Finals. Unless, you know, something else happens.
Well,
is LeBron now a Sixer? Then that would be a little bit different.
Let's see where LeBron goes. If LeBron stays in the East and is surrounded by a really good team, we can reset this conversation. But as it stands right now, they better make the finals next year.
Yeah.
They better make the finals, and the coach is going to be partly on the hook for that. We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Filger and Mess.
Ow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game 7 is underway. Strap in, kids. History about to unfold. Tatum had a look, doesn't take it, steps into 17 feet, and knocks down the first shot of Game 7.
The pump fake. Got the man going the other way, and all you're doing is pumping this crowd up that much more.
Good-looking start here for the Celtics in Game 7. Tatum shakes off Thompson, loses him, and drills the baseline jumper.
No, that'll get you a timeout. Somebody get off my toe. Jason Tatum.
Rozier lobs it. Horford catches. Fakes the pass to the wing. Everybody went for it. Horford put it to the floor once and dunked. 19-18. Celtics by one. Here's LeBron. Into the paint. He ran over Smart. Has to be an offensive foul. It is. Marcus Smart took one for the team and then some. He stepped in front of a freight train. Terry Rozier, offensive end, looking to give the Celtics their largest lead of Game 7. Bounce entry, Al Horford. Horford steps into the paint, kick to the corner. Morris waiting, three, got it! Ooh. Celtics by 12, 35-23. Here comes LeBron down the right side, shovels to the corner. J.R. Smith, crazy overdue, finally knocks down a three. And it's a two-point game. Eight straight for the Cavs, 37-35. Four on a shot clock, tough lob on the inside. Tatum turns it over again. Fourth turnover for Jason Tatum. Running the other way, Jeff Green jumps over. Baines scored in the foul. Jeff Green with a three-point play has tied Game 7 with 6:51 remaining in the third quarter. Horford reaches out. LeBron steps around him, flips to the corner. Jeff Green, wide open three is good. This is the largest lead for Cleveland, up by two, 53-51. Then taking the crowd out. LeBron dribbles behind the Jeff Green screen. He's clear for three. Got it. A go-ahead tie-breaking three-pointer by LeBron James, his third of Game 7. Smart. Left-hand dribble, lob for Horford. Oh. He catches, slams it home, scored, and the foul on Kyle Korver, and the Celtics have regained the lead. A bread and butter play for the Celtics.
Oh, somebody call me a nurse. That was hot. Up, and Al sandwich.
The Celtics have never lost a series, and they led two games to none. They're down four. Smart spins away from Korver, picks up his dribble, bounce pass for Tatum. Tatum left-hand dribble, drives on, flushes hard on LeBron James. He couldn't block that one.
Hey.
Sometimes you wait for the torch to be passed, and sometimes you say, I better go take it. Kick out Jaylen Brown. Smart. Shovels to Tatum. Up fake. Steps to his left. Fall away.
Three. Oh.
Got it.
Oh, where's the nurse at when you need her? Where is she? Yeah.
The Celtics have the lead in Game 7, and it's Jason Tatum who has led them there. Rozier looking for an opening. None there. Now he'll turn the corner. Drive on Jeff Green and dribble it out to the corner where he's open for three. No good. Rebound, Jeff Green. Long lead ahead of the field. Caught by Hill. Reverses it up and in. Timeout, Brad Stevens. Jaylen Brown up fix. Steps back behind the line. Off balance three is no good. Smart can't get the rebound. LeBron has got it. He will race into the front court against Marcus Morris. LeBron fights through. Goaltend and the foul. And LeBron James, who has done everything there is to do in the NBA, is going to take a team that no one believed in and bring them back to the NBA Finals.
Yes, he did.
The King was not ready to be dethroned. The final score in Game 7, Cleveland 87, Boston 79. The Cavaliers defend their Eastern Conference title.
Again, thanks to Mason Souza for putting that together. Felger and Maz, special holiday edition here with Marshall Hook and Tim McCone in the update studio. Back to your phones here as promised. Paul in Burlington. What do you got, Paul?
I'd like to share some observations on the series, if I could.
Please.
I'd like to remind everybody that they gave us a very entertaining year, and they went further than anybody could even expect with the losses of some of their key players. And we can't win these championships every year. All losing teams can, you know, always look back and say, if only. So I'm pretty happy with what I got out of the Celtics for this year. The other observations are on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Two great young players, but in order for Jaylen Brown to reach, need to improve his free throws in order to reach like the next level in his development as a player. And for Jason Tatum, I think he needs to get stronger so he can finish better at the basket and become a more complete player in himself.
Okay, I'm not worried about Jaylen Brown's free throw shooting. I mean, I guess I am. I think he just needs to improve his handle to get to the rim more often. That's, I think, his thing is, you know, can he really beat people off the dribble because his handle sucks? His shot's coming along. I think that's, to me, that's Brown's. I mean, to me, with the shot will come the free throws. I'm not worried about that. I'd be worried about him being able to beat people off the dribble because of his handle. To me, that's with Jaylen Brown. The first thing that he said, so when I asked that question, the Celtics choke last night. It's easy to get caught up in that first part of it, which is, I'm happy with the team. They're clearly going the right direction. It was a great year. They gave us more than we had a right to expect. They overachieved. We never thought they'd be in this spot after all those injuries. And so you say all that, and you come off the game, and you say, well, actually, I'm overall pleased with this year. Yes, you should be pleased with this year. But that's forgetting where you were at around 9:30 last night, which is up 12 points against a Cleveland team that did not play well. Cleveland scored 87 bleeping points.
It was early.
87 points.
And a lot of game left to go.
You're up 12 with 8:52 left in the second quarter, and you get three buckets the rest of the second quarter. And what should be a you know, 15, 20-point lead, if you're shooting well, is a four-point game, and then you totally tighten up in the second half and just panic and launch, and the game speeds up, and no one can hit anything, and the coach doesn't stop it, and you shouldn't feel good about the game.
I mean, they definitively peaked late in the first quarter. That's when the Celtics were at their best.
You won't feel good about the year, of course. And the direction of the organization feels like it's just a matter of time. I mean, I'm with you. That's all good. You want to talk about the game? You watch the game? How'd you feel about the game?
You know, also on Jaylen Brown, I said earlier that last night's game and the series in general kind of crystallized the thinking on Terry Rozier versus Marcus Smart. Hasn't it also crystallized the thinking on Jason Tatum versus Jaylen Brown?
I've been Jaylen Brown the whole time, so I'm not going to come off it yet. Because believe me, what did Tatum do in Game 6 in Cleveland? How was he that night, McCone?
Yeah, it was flipped. I mean, Jaylen Brown was awesome in Game 6. Tatum was a little quiet.
Yeah. A little.
Okay, but over the course of this postseason, which of these two guys?
Oh, Tatum's clearly ahead of him. I think Brown has a chance. I think Brown has a higher ceiling if he reaches it. I don't know if he's going to reach it.
Okay.
But Tatum's clearly farther along right now. And
in one fewer year.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, Tatum's ahead of him right now. No question about it. I think Brown is a person. I don't know. I can't get Tatum as clearly as I've gotten Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown is a legit dude, like a serious pro, a good head on his shoulders, hardworking, smart, focused, driven. Like, I'm buying on Jaylen Brown the person as much as anything, which, you know, I think is why Jaylen Brown's going to get there. Tatum, I maybe the same. I don't know. I don't have as clear of an idea about him as I do about Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown, I think, is a badass. But consistency is going to be a big thing for those guys because they're one night and they're, you know, not there the next, which for them we can sort of accept. Al Horford, how do you explain Al Horford? That Al Horford goes into this thing where, you know, one bucket. I think he had one field goal in Game 6, and then last night he has one bucket in the second half. There's no excuse for that guy. No excuse. William on the Cape. Go ahead, William. William!
Hello. Hey, how are you? Happy Memorial Day.
Same.
No, I just wanted to give a call in. I want to say, you know, I felt the Celtics, they overexceeded all expectations this year. We gave it a great run against Cleveland. We got some disposable assets, you know, maybe try and trade in the draft, get a big man coming in for some more rebounding. I felt like we lacked that a little bit. Overall, Brad Stevens, probably going to be the best coach for the next 10 years. Boston, we're back with basketball. So, you know, can't really trip too much on what happened. LeBron's doing what he's doing, but you know, I feel like we're in a good place.
Okay, babe. Good.
There you go.
It's all good.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Well, I would love to live that way, but a loss like that leaves no mark. Here's Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, the game came down to a couple of things. They just didn't shoot, and I've never seen a team like Cleveland did in this series block so many layups. Show me a team that has blocked this many layups as they did, and they just didn't shoot. It isn't on the coach. He draws up a play. The players still have to execute.
I don't think he drew up any plays, Tony. I think he just let him go. I think he just let him chuck and duck, and that's my problem. I don't think he drew up any plays. It didn't feel like, you know, go back and watch it. It didn't feel like he did anything to get these guys to just slow down and work for a better shot and move the ball, and never mind move the ball inside for something less than a 26-footer. But just slow down and move the ball a little bit around the perimeter,
I mean,
even.
I don't want to be a Brad Stevens apologist. I'm not invested in him in any way. I'm just looking at a track history or, you know, of not doing that, right? He has been a coaching coach, for lack of a better term. I think Tyronn Lue's more of a, I'm just going to step back and let the game happen, because LeBron James is really the coach of that team. Brad Stevens hasn't been that guy. So if we're going to look at it from a choking point of view, I think it's more likely that somebody like Terry Rozier hears Brad Stevens tell him something, but then says, this is Game 7, I'm going to be the hero, I'm going to throw this up, I'm going to get us back in, or create the lead, depending on what time of the game we're talking about. I'm given the choice of whether I'm to believe that Brad Stevens coached poorly or Terry Rozier just took it on himself to be the hero, I'm going with Rozier trying to play hero ball.
Whatever it is, the Celts were not a very composed team at the end, and I thought they would be. Jim in Methuen, I think, is not happy with me. Go ahead, Jim. Jimmy! Okay, his comment line says, Felger's clearly a hockey guy. The hockey people would tell you I suck at that, too. So, like, I have no home. Here is McCone's update.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Red Sox beat the Blue Jays this afternoon, 8-3. J.D. Martinez, his 17th home run of the season. Andrew Benintendi hit his 7th. David Price picked up the win, going 5 innings, giving up 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Mookie Betts, by the way, missing his 2nd straight game. He's dealing with tightness in his left side. Elsewhere in the AL East, Yankees fell to the Astros 5-1. Nationals beat the Orioles 6-0. NBA, Celtics, of course, falling in Game 7 last night of the Eastern Conference Finals to LeBron James and the Cavs, 87-79. Who Cleveland will be playing will be determined tonight. Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and Warriors tips off at 9. Andre Iguodala not going to play again for Golden State. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between Washington and Las Vegas is also tonight. Face-off for that one is at 8. And Yale beat Duke 13-11 over at Gillette this afternoon for their first men's lacrosse title. Sports Up Headlines brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank, financing deals for corporate clients with flexibility at every turn. Learn more at cambridgesavings.com, equal housing lender. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did that bother you on the boot shot maybe there? No, me.
You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, it's I'm soft.
How painful?
It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
Something we'll pick up on tomorrow on Felger and Mez. That was David Price today. So the Red Sox win. David Price gets the win.
Pitches well.
Pitches well against the Blue Jays. But apparently he took a ball off the arm early in the game. And he stayed in the game. And so they asked him about him afterwards, and that was his bitchy response.
I'm soft.
And it didn't end there, by the way. He kept going on. That's only the beginning of it. He later said, I'm soft, period. It's not a joke. I'm soft. It's cold. Can't pitch. My hand's tingling. Can't do my job. That's it.
This guy's awesome. Has someone been reading his Twitter mentions or something? I thought he was off that crap.
You know me. I'm the softest guy in the clubhouse. Which, by the way, you are, David. That's the thing. You think you're being sarcastic. You're not. You are the softest, most emotional. Does he need a hug? Is that what he needs? He needs us to come in, not us, because I'm not in the clubhouse, but, you know, the guys to come in. And, I mean, listen, beat writers all but hug him already. But Dave, he did such a great. He needs the LeBron treatment. That's what he needs.
He does.
He needs the person coming up after the game. So I got to tell you, David, you went out there today. You really. I mean, what do you say when your teammates say you were the best, hardest working guy out there today, and that you know they really look to you for leadership? What do you say when people tell you that? I mean, is that the question that David Price needs? He has pitched exceedingly well. I think he's got a 4-start streak right now since the hand tingling thing. He's pitching very well. And just like the criticism I lobbed at LeBron where just step back and let other people say that, they can't do that, the both of them. Now, LeBron backs it up with just otherworldly performances. David Price strings together 4 good starts, and we're supposed to, I don't know, throw roses at his feet.
So as I said, is he getting bitchy because he's feeling it? Because he knows he's pitching well, and so it's his chance to throw it back in everybody's face? Either way, that was David Price today. We'll do more on that tomorrow on Felger and Mez when Mez and Murray and everybody else returns. In the meantime, we'll finish up with your Celtics thoughts here, and we'll bring it back with Lekar in Boston. Go ahead, Lekar.
Hey, well, I was just thinking that I figured that the league is satisfied that Cleveland's in the finals because LeBron James brings in the revenue. I mean, it's similar like what Tom Brady does. They bring in the revenue. They want the best players in the finals.
Yeah,
I mean, did anybody for the Celtics bring in the revenue like LeBron James does?
I think they would have drawn well, the Celtics would have. Do you think last night the officiating steered it towards LeBron?
Oh, no. The officiating went even and stuff. It's just that LeBron and them made the great plays down the stretch.
Okay, I'm sorry, Lekar. Good. At least you're not blaming the refs. Is the league better off with LeBron in the finals versus the Celtics? I think it's debatable.
If he hadn't been there 7 straight years,
right,
he might be
exactly
able to make that argument.
Right, thank you.
But this is his 8th straight trip to the finals, which, by the way, you should just take a step back and really appreciate. I mean, you want me to throw some you know, rose petals at LeBron James' feet? 8 straight trips to the finals is, I mean, Michael Jordan didn't do that.
It's absurd.
Maybe he, without the gambling suspension, he might have. But, I mean, it is absurd. But on the grand scheme of things, I think the NBA would be fine with a LeBron-less finals, if for no other reason than next year when he's a member of the Lakers or Trailblazers or, you know, whoever, then they can get him back in there with a new team.
I think they would have been fine if it was the Celtics. A big national team with a huge draw, huge interest around the country. They would have been, and a fresh young team with fresh faces. And, like, I think they would have been fine with the Celtics. I don't think they would have been fine if it were, like, Toronto.
Yeah.
Canadian market or, you know, something. Indiana, I don't think they would have been happy. But the Celtics, I think they would have made their money. The league would have. Here's Craig in New Bedford. Hi, Craig.
Yo. All right. Hello?
Hello, Craig. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? This is for Felder.
Yo.
Saying that Jaylen Brown has a better upside than Jason Tatum is just, it's ludicrous. Like, it's really insane.
Well, I said he has a chance to be better. I can't tell you he's going to get there, but I think he has a chance to be better.
I don't think so. After his performance in the playoffs all season long, he reminds me of Grant Hill coming out of Duke.
Grant.
I mean, the complete package. He's really, really good.
Tatum is no question is more complete right now. He's farther along right now. I've never debated that. Never debated that. I think in time, the other guy has a chance to be better, but that's in time. It's really not worth debating. I mean,
particularly because neither of them are going anywhere.
No, they're not going anywhere. They're your future, and I think you'll be fine with both. Josh in Webster. Hi, Josh.
Do you think that the possibility of, like, LeBron seeing that Houston won is motivation for him to play better?
Yeah, maybe. Like, so we had talked about this before. Stephen A. Smith had said last week, Hook, that at this point LeBron would almost rather lose before he gets to the finals than be saddled with another finals loss. He'd be only the third player in NBA history with 6 finals losses if he loses again in the finals. And Stephen A. said that, just his personal opinion, that LeBron would rather lose before he gets there without having to be, so he wouldn't have to be saddled with that. Is it possible that LeBron looks out there and says, oh, Houston might win this thing, and now I actually have a chance, and so I'm going to try?
See, I looked at yes, I do think that that's a thing, but I looked at it in reverse yesterday, because had Houston wrapped it up before last night's game, then I said, well, LeBron absolutely would have been motivated to get to the finals. I actually looked at that Cleveland victory or that Golden State victory the night before as a good thing, because then LeBron's going to look and say, Golden State's going to do this. They're going to beat Houston. They're going to be what's waiting for me in the finals. I thought it would help. I thought that would be good for
help
the Celtics.
Help for the Celtics, right?
Had Houston wrapped it up, LeBron absolutely would have been, you know, ultimately out there. Ultimately, it didn't make a difference, obviously.
I'm going to give LeBron credit. I think that he's just played it straight up here. I think he's decided, I'm not going to quit on the way out the door. I'm going to do everything I can, every game that I can, every minute that I can. And as far as we go is as far as we go. And he's actually just going to play it like a straight, normal human being, McCone. He's not going to, like, you know, I think his fatigue in Game 5 was a little bit of a setup. That definitely was a put-on. But for the most part, he's just going to play hard down the stretch, and where it lands is where it lands.
He had a couple opportunities last night early on in that game, too. Scored, I think, 12 of their first 16 points. Like, he could have turned around and been like, F you guys.
No
I'm
question.
I'm the only one doing anything with this team.
No question. And Hook, you think they had a few more points over the Celtics, you could have gotten them there.
I think that was the point there. If they could have gotten up to like 15 points, and again, LeBron's the only guy scoring, that he would have just said, this is not happening tonight. And now I got to get a leg cramp, so it's not my fault.
Here's Brandon in Roxbury on Brad Stevens. Great his night last night, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing? I would like to give him like a C plus, because the offense started to suck when Marcus Smart got in the game in the fourth quarter. I don't know why he set Terry Rozier out so long, and he didn't make good timeouts. I mean, you see, you're up 12, and you're not making no timeouts when you're losing.
So he didn't use his timeouts on the stretch like I thought he would, but you don't understand why he took
Terry Rozier out? It's pretty easy to see why he took Terry Rozier out.
It was 2 of 14, 0 for 10 from behind the line. And they started to suck in the second quarter. Big part of the game, the one you're talking about, Hook, that if they had blown it open in the second quarter, maybe LeBron does shut it down. They never got past 12. And after they got up to 12 the last time with 8:52 left, they got only 3 buckets the rest of the second quarter.
That was a huge
part of it.
I mean, they went into the half, up by 4?
4, that's it.
I thought they were lucky. I mean, they were up by 2 a little bit before that, and there was Cleveland had a chance to actually tie it right there. And I thought, well, if they go into the half tied, then it might as well just be over.
Tony and Holbrook, your thoughts?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great season of the Celtics. Quick question. Who do you think plays a decision on not fouling somebody. For example, LeBron, he was one foul away from being eliminated.
No, no.
Do you think that was the coach's decision or the player's overall?
Okay, you're sort of confused. He had four personal fouls, and so you got to go. I mean, you could make the case that the Celtics should have kept going at him.
Yep.
Just try and get him in more foul trouble.
I'm not a refs guy, but you're crazy if you think the NBA is going to foul out LeBron James in a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final.
And I was watching the game with Jimmy Stewart last night, and he said the exact same thing. He said the fourth foul is actually going to hurt the Celtics because the refs are now going to stay
away
from
LeBron. Stop,
right? They're not going to foul him out. But I do think the refs, his fourth foul came with 7:20 left and put you in the bonus. And I don't think you worked hard enough to get to the rim and get to the line, really, more importantly. At 7:20 in the bonus is a long time. You should be able to win that game on the free throw line. But you can't pick up fouls when you're shooting 27 footers. That's another thing that got frustrating. Tommy in Nashua, your thoughts, Tommy? Tommy! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Dan in Pittsfield. Hi, Danny.
Hey, what happened with Brad Stevens? He couldn't double-team LeBron and let the rest of the team win the game?
So I don't think that that's part of my second guessing. He never doubles LeBron. They try not to. But they still left Cavaliers guys wide open. They still left Jeff Green wide open in the corner half the game. They left Smith wide open at the three-point line a bunch, and those guys missed. That wasn't it. Again, my second guessing with Brad Stevens does not go to the defensive end of the floor because I think LeBron's in a place where you're really not stopping him. And I think it was foolhardy, Hook. It was foolhardy. The number of people I had to listen to last week after the Celtics won game one talk about how Stevens has these answers against LeBron and he just has the right system against him. And when it was obvious that LeBron in game one was either just setting you up or feeling it out like he said,
yeah,
or just decided not to show or had the flu or whatever. But LeBron, way back in game one, clearly wasn't engaged like he was later on in the series. But that didn't stop folks around here from saying, oh, Stevens has got the answers, which I thought was ludicrous. He doesn't. When LeBron's going, it's kind of unstoppable.
If only we could have watched Brad Stevens coach against LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, then we would have maybe been able to see if he had the answers against LeBron James.
I sense sarcasm, Hook.
No. Come on.
You got to be careful of sarcasm with me and the show. We're very straight-line thinkers here from 2 to 6. Shelby in New Bedford. Hi, Shelby.
Hey, how you doing, Shelby? I just want to say the main thing I think why we lost is we got away from getting the ball to Horford. We got away from letting Tatum do what he needed to do. Jaylen Brown and Rozier, they were playing hero ball. I just think it was just a total mess. I think Brad Stevens, I think he kept Rozier on the bench too long, a little late in the game. I just felt like they kind of folded up. I think the moment was a little too big for them, and I think their youth showed late in the game. And I just think maybe I'd say get rid of Rozier and Brown and bring Anthony Davis. Okay. I'll listen to you guys. Thank you.
All right. Rozier, Brown, and a pick. Does that get you Anthony Davis? Not enough.
No, not enough.
Did they show their youth? Yes. Or whatever. I think that was it. If you want to blame the choking on youth, that's fine. But don't tell me that they weren't affected by the pressure last night. They were absolutely affected by the pressure. I said all day, if they just shot poorly, if they just shot below average, they win that game. But they were wretched, Hook. Wretched. 17% from behind the line?
No, I mean, there was nothing good to take out of last night's game with the exception of Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum looked great. Everyone else looked like some different version on the scale of crap. From Al Horford's eventual crap to, you know, Terry Rozier's crap from beginning to end.
But again, here's the Athletic that tracks this sort of stuff. In the first quarter, on open three-pointers, the Celts were 2 of 3. Pretty good. From that point on, they were 1 for 12 on open three-pointers the rest of the game. 1 for 12. And that included 0 for 4 on open threes in the final 5 minutes. They choked. It's okay. I mean, but that's
what
happened.
They were 0 for open threes for the whole game, pretty much.
After the first quarter, they were there. That's the whole thing. It's not like they were hotly contested. They were there, and they couldn't hit them. Final word comes your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody, McCone.
All right, we've been talking Celtics pretty much all day today. And early on in this show, we broke down Terry Rozier's performance. 0-for-10 from 3, losing a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final post-game. Terry Rozier, though, at least he's moving merch.
Terry Rozier. This is from Vinny Crouch, our simulcast producer on NBC Sports Boston. Terry Rozier was asked, what do you feel like you were able to show this postseason?
Oh, this is bad.
This guy says, quote, besides my shirts, just toughness, confidence, just being a point guard. Like talking about what he's learned and what he's how he's progressed. Dude, you were what in this game? You were 0-for-10 from behind the line?
0-for-10, yeah.
0-for-10? You shot, for the final game, you shot, what? 2-for-14? And you're talking about your toughness, confidence, being a point guard, and your shirts? Who gives a flying fart about your shirts? What shirts? I had to stop and think for a second. The stupid, scary Terry thing?
Is it the Drew Bledsoe shirts? Was that what it was?
I don't even know! You kids! Like, why don't you get, like, that's what he's worried about? All you stinking kids online with your t-shirts? Like, that's what you learned besides your shirts? Like, he thinks he accomplished something. This is a guy you got to worry about. About who he thinks he is, his mentality. You know, Naz got on big time during the playoffs. He had a steal in one of those games against Philly, maybe. He said, well, that's just a championship play. He took the time to call himself and that play a championship play. This guy's a little bit of an elevated opinion of himself, don't you think?
I think that'll be coming down.
Who cares about your stupid shirt? I don't know what your shirt is. I don't know what your stupid shirt. He went 2-for-14. God. Seriously, the t-shirts.
I'm going to get you one of those.
Oh, please. Yeah, definitely. Need one. What's next, McCone?
I was just saying, well, Felger, you have not been a Terry Rozier guy pretty much throughout the whole playoffs. We got a little throwback here to the Trojan take with you and Jim Murray.
Stevens and the Celtics went in there and exposed that team, man.
Yep, they did.
Attention, fellow green teamers! Michael Felger has finally seen the light. He has recognized the importance of our true leader, Coach Brad Stevens. And now, he is one of us. Let him in.
Felger! 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 Felger!
Yeah, hey, Felger, you really think the Celtics are beating the Sixers because of Coach Stevens? Huh?
You're not just beating the Sixers, you're exposing them. You are exposing them as a fraud team. And that's because of your coach, it is.
Hooray! There, Felger. You really believe Coach Stevens makes a difference?
He makes more of a difference than I gave him credit for. If you're going to go on the road and win road playoff games based almost solely on coaching, then fine. I tip my cap. I give up.
He's given up. He believes in Stevens.
Hey, Mr. Mike, just one more question over here. What do you think of the player Terry Rozier? Oh, how I love Terry.
It is so predictable, you people. It's cute. I mean, it is cute what you do. All of you, even like the so-called smart basketball people in this town, you fall in love with your players like I've never seen, to the point where you love them all.
Of course we love them. They're Celtics.
Like one or two good games, and it's now I'm being fed Terry Rozier. How are the Sixers may not have an answer for Terry Rozier. You know what? Can I give the Sixers the answer for Terry Rozier?
Sure.
Wait.
You son of a bitch, Felger! No! You fooled us with a Trojan tank! A Trojan tank!
I believed you, Mr. Mike. I thought you were one of us. So.
Beware of Felger's Trojan takes.
That is a serious bit of production right there, McCone.
That is no joke.
You don't do that on the weekends.
No.
You don't do that at night, Sousa, do you, with Jones? You don't put together something like that. That is next-level stuff right there. We're a little hard on Brad Stevens today. Talk about Trojan takes. You got to call him like you see him, Hook. Not Stevens' finest hour.
I'm not blaming him.
All right. Anyway, thanks to Hook, McCone, and Sousa. Help me with the kid. Who else is helping us out today, Mason?
Tom Carroll.
How are you? Nice to meet you, Tom. Nice to see you again. Oh, there you go. All right. Thanks for helping out today. We'll have a fully loaded Felger and Maz program back tomorrow. McCarthy's standing by. You're going to eat your feet?
Apparently I've got to answer for this. Now, Joe Murray's hosting tonight.
But I think Joe's a little tired. He did like an 18-and-a-half-hour shift yesterday. He was on earlier today. So he comes in and says, McCarthy, you got to go in and do the crossover. All right, so yes, I need to answer for something I said yesterday on a McCarthy and McCone spectacular. We will do that. Also, Celtics choking? They didn't choke, Mike. They failed. This series was a failure for the Celtics.
I told you.
We're going to get into that.
I think we're parsing words, but either way, I look forward to it. Here comes Jeopardy! Joe Murray, and we're back at tomorrow, too, for Felger and Maz. See ya.